Okay, let's start with something to think about. For you listening, imagine your entire life just put on hold.
Right.
Not, you know, for a few weeks or maybe a couple of months.
Okay, yeah.
But for decades.
Yeah.
Just completely consumed by someone else's needs.
Wow. Decades.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
A very long time. And then picture doing all that without, well, any real recognition, without the resources you desperately need.
Right.
And with pretty much zero support, like none.
Yeah. That's a really tough image to conjure. A life almost entirely defined by, well, just intense caregiving demands.
It really is. And that that specific situation is exactly what we're going to unpack in this deep dive.
Okay.
We're going to try and pull back the curtain a bit on the struggles of caregivers, which are often, you know, invisible.
Unseen work.
Exactly. Huh? And we're focusing specifically on women from minority communities.
So that includes South Asian, Mauritian, African, Afro-Caribbean, South American backgrounds?
Yeah, those groups. And particularly women in those communities who might have limited or maybe even no English proficiency.
So our mission here really is to kind of distill the crucial insights.
Yeah.
Get to the heart of the challenges these caregivers are up against.
What are we looking at?
Well, everything from the huge personal sacrifices they're making to the, you know, the really deep-seated systemic barriers they often face.
Okay.
And maybe most critically, what actually happens when that really demanding caregiving role suddenly just stops.
Yeah.
Ends.
Right. And to make these sort of bigger issues feel more real, more concrete,
yeah,
we're going to share the story of one woman, Rubina. She's South Asian.
Okay.
And her experience caring for her mother-in-law for, get this, 2 decades. It's a really powerful example.
20 years. Wow.
Yeah. Her story just shines a light on all these challenges, including, you know, the devastating situation she faced afterwards.
Like what?
Like poverty, extreme isolation, and even the very real possibility of becoming homeless.
Gosh. Okay, so let's dive into her story then and see what it tells us.
Absolutely.
What's really striking, I think, is how Rubina's specific experience,
yeah,
which is, you know, incredibly tough and unique to her, it also reflects this much wider issue.
One that isn't really talked about much.
Exactly. It's largely unacknowledged. So many caregivers, especially from minority backgrounds, find themselves in these roles because of, well, deeply ingrained cultural expectations.
Like it's just assumed they'll do it.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Often without any real choice in the matter or, crucially, any external support to kind of ease that massive burden.
And the sources we looked at really highlight this. It's predominantly women.
Yes.
And they're often grappling with, like we said, limited English, but also low digital literacy, which is huge today.
Huge. Think about what gets lost. I mean, it's not just careers, right? Or education opportunities.
No, it's more basic than that sometimes.
Yeah, like basic personal freedom, simple things like holidays, or just going to the cinema.
Or even just having coffee with a friend.
Exactly. Every single part of their own independent life is just put on hold.
Yeah.
Indefinitely.
It's a massive sacrifice.
And it goes beyond just missing out on fun stuff.
Yeah.
It hits fundamental parts of their well-being.
How so?
Well, they often lack access to digital health literacy. So the ability to even find or understand, let alone use, health information online.
Which is critical for managing care these days, especially complicated care.
Absolutely. And they miss out on vital mental health support.
Which they must surely need.
You'd think so. And those social connections, too, the ones everyone needs to, you know, actually thrive.
Right.
So then what happens? The person they've dedicated years, maybe decades, to caring for, they pass away or perhaps move into a care home.
And suddenly their entire purpose, their whole world structure,
it just collapses, vanishes. They're left completely adrift.
Wow.
Often with no income, none of the essential life skills needed to navigate the world today.
Like banking or benefits application.
Exactly. Oh. And no clear path toward any kind of independence.
It's terrifying. Which I guess raises a really critical question. Why? Why do so many vulnerable people just fall through the cracks like this?
Yeah, that's the core question, isn't it? And the sources point to some significant layered barriers.
Such as?
Well, one big one is a severe lack of culturally aware staff within local authorities.
And that doesn't just mean language.
No, not just speaking different languages, so that's part of it. It's about truly understanding the intricate cultural nuances, the social dynamics.
Things that might stop these women from even asking for help or knowing what they're entitled to.
Precisely. We also see, sadly, clear instances of outright discrimination sometimes.
Mm.
And just a general pervasive systemic neglect, a failure to see them.
Meaning there just aren't support programs designed for them?
Often, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially tailored programs for non-English speakers. They just don't exist in many places.
So if we connect this to the, you know, the bigger picture,
yeah,
the overall impact.
It's devastating. It's
yeah.
not just about individual poverty, though
yeah.
that's bad enough.
No.
It's severe mental health struggles. It's broken relationships. It's profound social exclusion.
So this isn't just like a few sad stories.
Not at all. It's a glaring systemic failure.
Yeah.
A failure to recognize and value and properly support this vital but largely invisible part of our society.
Now, to really understand the human cost, the personal toll of these bigger systemic problems, let's go back to Rubina's story.
Okay.
As that specific example. So Rubina came to the UK back in 1997.
Right.
It was through an arranged marriage. And for two full decades, 20 years, she dedicated her life to caring for her mother-in-law, who for the last 10 of those years was completely bedridden.
10 years bedridden. Imagine the intensity of that care.
Unrelenting. Her daily life was just this cycle. Washing, feeding, endless hospital appointments, managing all the medications meticulously.
This was 247.
247, completely unpaid care.
Wow.
And her husband, he was basically her only link to the outside world.
How so?
He managed all the money, dealt with any letters or bills, booked every single appointment. Rubina herself spoke almost no English.
Right.
And had absolutely zero digital skills. Couldn't use a computer or smartphone.
Just think about that level of isolation.
Yeah.
For 20 years.
It's hard to comprehend. She never had friends, never went to the cinema, obviously never had a holiday, never even went to a party.
It's cut off.
Completely. And any chance for education, like English classes, non-existent. There was simply no time. Her life was, for all practical purposes, just caregiving. That was it.
And the fallout.
Oof.
You mentioned there was fallout for Rubina after her mother-in-law passed.
Yes. It's just heartbreaking. While she was pouring everything into caring for his mother, her husband started an affair.
Oh, no.
And then, tragically, soon after her mother-in-law died, he divorced her.
After 20 years of her caring for his mother.
Yes. And to make an already terrible situation even worse, the council house they lived in, it was in her mother-in-law's name.
Oh, gosh.
So Rubina was suddenly facing homelessness, along with her 12-year-old child.
Right.
A child who also has autism and needs significant extra support.
This is just crisis upon crisis.
Exactly. No income suddenly. No idea how to even begin to access benefits.
Because her husband had always handled everything.
Everything. She had no clue how to apply. This just plunged her into a really profound mental health crisis.
I can only imagine.
She used the words. She felt thrown away after dedicating two decades of her life. Thrown away.
That's, yeah. Her story really crystallizes some critical themes, doesn't it? Especially that immense isolation.
Definitely.
Makes you wonder, like, did anyone ever check on her well-being during those 20 years?
It seems unlikely, doesn't it?
It's not just social isolation, is it? It feels like a kind of systemic invisibility. How can someone's life be consumed like that for decades without a single check-in? Without any external query.
It really does beg the question about society's role or complicity in allowing that marginalization.
Mm. And then there's the loss of identity. I mean, what did she dream of when she first came to the UK? And does she feel like that person is just completely gone now, erased by the caregiving role?
These aren't just personal tragedies, are they? They feel like urgent societal questions we need to ask.
Absolutely.
And the discrimination aspect, the cultural assumptions, they're really stark in her story, too.
Yeah, that idea that, oh, well, this is just normal in your culture.
Right. Which becomes an excuse, doesn't it? It leads straight to neglect. It excuses the lack of proper systemic support.
It absolutely does.
Yeah.
So what must truly terrify her now? I mean, facing homelessness, trying to support a child with special needs.
And doing it all with absolutely no safety net.
It's an incredibly precarious, terrifying position to be in.
Yeah.
And this brings us right back to why carers like Rubina so often slip through these cracks.
Okay, so let's recap those reasons.
Well, there's a severe lack of translated resources, for one.
Basic information isn't available in their language.
Often, no. There are significant policy gaps, too, around things like carer's allowance, housing rights after the person cared for passes away.
Loopholes, basically.
You could say that. And there's that huge digital divide we mentioned, especially among older immigrant women.
So the systems we have, the support structures, they just aren't designed to actually reach or support these women effectively.
That's the crux of it. They're fundamentally not set up for them. What I find most surprising or perhaps shocking about this systemic neglect is just how consistently these incredibly vulnerable individuals are overlooked, despite the absolutely essential unpaid work they contribute to society day in, day out.
It's a massive blind spot.
Yeah.
So, okay, what does all this mean for us, for you listening, and importantly, what can actually be done?
Right. Because there are things being done.
This is where organizations like the one you're involved with, the Blossom Group, come in. And what you do sounds incredibly vital.
Well, thank you. Yes. At Blossom Group, we see women like Rubina. Sadly, hundreds of them every year facing very similar crises.
Hundreds. Wow.
Yes. And we operate from a place of lived experience. That's key.
What does that mean in practice?
It means our team speaks their languages. We deeply understand the cultural backgrounds, the nuances we talked about.
So you can build trust.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we offer tangible solutions, practical help that's genuinely tailored to their specific, unique needs, not just a one-size-fits-all approach.
So what kind of practical help are we talking about?
Well, essential support, like ESOL classes, that's English for speakers of other languages.
Crucial for breaking the isolation.
Absolutely. And alongside that, vital life skills training, digital skills training, too.
Helping bridge that digital divide.
Yes. We also provide really important mental health awareness sessions. And critically, hands-on practical assistance with things like housing applications and navigating the benefits system.
So you actually help them fill out the forms, make the calls?
Step by step, we effectively help people like Rubina bridge those huge systemic gaps we've been discussing.
That sounds incredibly important. So let's try and pull this all together then. This deep dive, I think it's really laid bare the silent, profound sacrifices that are made by minority women caregivers.
Yeah, the silence is deafening sometimes.
It really is. And it shows the stark lack of proper, comprehensive support systems.
And the devastating consequences when that caregiving role inevitably ends.
Right. It just powerfully underscores that critical point where cultural expectations crash headlong into language barriers and, well, just pervasive systemic neglect.
Yeah, it's a perfect storm, unfortunately.
And understanding Rubina's experience and these broader issues facing minority carers, it really is vital for you, the listener.
Why vital?
Because it shines a light on these critical gaps in our society's support network, especially around things like digital literacy, accessing basic benefits, and the absolute urgent need for culturally competent services.
Services that understand, not just translate.
Precisely. And it shows how organizations like the Blossom Group are working so hard to fill those gaps.
Offering that essential support, yeah. And leveraging their own lived experience and that deep cultural understanding, which is so key.
Definitely.
So maybe it leaves us all with a final, perhaps provocative, thought to mull over.
Go on.
What responsibilities do we, really, as a society, have towards those people whose lives are completely consumed by this unseen, unpaid, absolutely vital labor of care?
That's a big question.
It is. And maybe also, what blind spots might we still have, even after hearing this? Blind spots in truly recognizing and genuinely supporting the most vulnerable people among us.